reminds me of McNichols Arena.
Colorado Rock. Mile High Stadium. Denver Broncos.
Yeah.
This is Gary Glitter.
He's in jail now.
Speaking of child porn.
Yeah, he had a Gary small Glitter. Problem.
Talk
All right,
about
we day, are back day. With the legal dispute with Lenny and Paul and Aji. And we're going to talk here about CTE and some of the effects that CTE has had this week. We heard about the tragic death of Vincent Jackson, who was a receiver out of... He played at University of Northern Colorado. He played his college football at Widefield High School down in Colorado Springs, but came to be known as Philip Rivers, one of Philip Rivers' biggest targets in San Diego. And so we always all followed him because he was a local kid, done well. And he ended up being found in a hotel room this week in Tampa. And I still haven't seen cause of death yet, but it's my understanding it had something to do with alcoholism. Then this morning came the news of Lewis Nix, who was a former Notre Dame defensive lineman, best nose guard in the country in his day, was drafted in, I don't know, third or fourth round, went and played for the Texans, went and played for,
Cowboys?
I think it was the Giants. He may have had a stint with the Cowboys too, Len. He played with four or five teams. They reported him missing about 3 days ago, and I believe today they found him.
They found his body.
Mm-hmm. And so I don't know what the relationship is between that and CTE. We'll have to find out. But so we wanted to talk about CTE. We talked about it about a year ago with one of our first broadcasts that we ever did. We were talking about CTE and its effects. And so today we have Aji Martinez, who is she's going to be a nurse practitioner.
Yes.
Thank you. And so she's got information that she'll share with us on CTE and the effects of CTE. And then in a few minutes, then we're going to go to a local football coach, high school football coach, and talk to him for a little while. So, Aj, why don't you kick us off with what you got?
Not to sell Aj short, she's also the first female football coach in the history of the Mullen High School, J.K. Mullen Brothers High School football team.
First 5A
In the state of Colorado. Coach. That's correct. So.
Yep. Well, I did get my bachelor's degree in integrative physiology. So I did take classes that kind of focused on some brain injuries. And CTE, with concussions, you keep damaging your brain, you bruise your brain. And if it's not properly treated, it could cause further damage. And I believe with CTE, a protein kind of starts developing, which degenerates some of the brain cells in there. And it can eventually lead to like changes in mood, depression, anxieties. That's why some people get into alcoholism, you get into drugs, and suicide is pretty common in there because of all the brain damage and all the mood it brings with it.
It's pretty crazy too, because, you know, when we were playing, we always talk about our days when we played, you know,
back in the day.
I mean, I remember a few games where I got my bowel rung. Remember that used to say, oh, sure. He just got his bowel rung.
That was the term, yeah.
And, you know, it might have been, you know, the third play in the second quarter. Halftime, you know, I'm realizing where I'm at and who I am. And by the third quarter, I'm back in the starting lineup carrying the ball again. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, from that time, which was over 30 years ago, to now, things have changed so dramatically in just high school sports and in college sports. But it seems like, you know, in high school sports, if someone is even walks out on the field, and we'll talk to Jeremy about it, and you even have a suspicion that they've suffered a concussion or any type of injury like that, you pull them and you don't ask questions. He's done for the
day.
You
have to sit until you get a doctor's approval.
Yeah. I mean, and then you watch what happened with Patrick Mahomes during the playoffs. You know, who could barely walk off the field. And then the next day, I'm reading the paper that Kansas City is saying, oh, well, it was a neck injury.
Yeah, it was a nerve.
What are you talking about? You know, this is, I think, a problem that the NFL has to deal with. And they dealt with it, I think, enough to maybe ease some of it. But it's never going away for them. It's an issue that never goes away. And unfortunately, when people think of CTE and concussions and protocols and so forth, they think of football because it's the biggest sport in the United States. But it's not only a football issue either.
It's an issue in a lot of things.
Right.
I know they say it's big, especially for Army people too. They have a lot of traumatic brain injuries that they eventually have to deal with CTE as well.
Well, for people who have been around explosions and a lot of gunfire, fire
and stuff.
But CTE is not just, and we football. Learn this. We learn this when we get our training for football every year.
Girls' soccer is the number one
concussion.
Soccer. Right.
Yeah. Cheerleading's big
headers,
too.
Yeah.
It's not so much you get
cheerleading.
They fall.
You get dropped and. Hit your head a lot.
The CTE is not just...
Well, don't lift that kid. Just find the little kid.
That's even the little lift. Kids get dropped easily if people don't catch them, right?
They shouldn't be doing that.
If you let me finish, CTE is just not a blow to the head. I mean, you can have like a whiplash effect.
Right.
Where your brain is shaking in your head. And so it may be...
A car accident.
Yeah, it may not even be a direct blow to your head. It may be something that, you know, you took... and it shook your head in such a force, a G force, that it caused your brain to get rattled around in there and it causes the concussion and so forth.
But it's something that happens over and over and over. If someone suffered one concussion in their lifetime, they're not going to get CTE.
No, not this enough brain damage.
Right. This is something that it has to be recurring, right?
That's
typically, yeah.
I mean, that's the medical question mark for it, right? Because... I know I've had several concussions. Did I say that? Anyway, I had several concussions all through playing for 12 years. I played football. And did it affect me? I don't know. Maybe I'm sure my wife
would. I think it explains why you never answer your emails or phone calls.
Or the text message says red.
But it hasn't affected me maybe like it did Vince Jackson, right? So, and I know he played at a much higher level and so forth, but how does it affect one person who's had multiple concussions but not others? And that's, I think, the whole science where there's a big question mark right now is.
Yeah, but I think they've done a lot of work. I mean, I think it has to do with, and I should have looked this up, and I apologize that I didn't. But I and Aji, you would probably know this better than anyone. But again, it goes back to the type of force, the amount of force. And
how bad the concussion was.
Right. And then how bad it was and how bad did when you went back. And I'm not saying that high school kids or, you know, anyone else is not susceptible because everyone is susceptible to it. Mm-hmm. But for sure, when you're playing, just talking about football, when you're talking about football in the NFL, and I mean, when you get hit by a linebacker in the NFL and you're a wide receiver coming over the middle, it equates to a traffic accident. And when you do that three or four times just in one game, I would think that, you know, the susceptibility of that athlete would be higher. But I think the one thing that we were just talking about, and we should talk about it too, is it's not just football. There's so many people that are afraid to play football, and there really shouldn't be.
Well, that's going to be the interesting part to talk to Jeremy about.
Yeah.
As a football coach, he's got this perception out there that nobody wants to play, have their kids play football anymore. How does he get around that?
I don't know, but it'll be a good conversation. I think it's going to have to do with equipment and how do you get back to, I know Vices, and we can ask Jeremy about this. Vices just released two new helmets last week that are just for linemen. And, you know, they talked about during all the NFL protocols and all the NFL testing and everybody else, the people that actually get hit the most are the linemen. Because they go helmet to helmet right off the line of scrimmage. And so Vices has just come out with new helmets just for linemen that have, I don't know if they have different, they must have different protection than what they had before. But again, we go back to girls soccer, which is always been number one. I think bike riding was number two on the list that I saw. But I mean, there's all sorts of crazy things out there.
I got hit in the head twice by a softball and
my head was swollen. I got hit hard
and got thrown into the game, even though I couldn't see the ball.
That coach was negligent.
Coach is an asshole.
I think football gets the bad reputation because in nature, it's a violent
sport.
That
is correct.
It's a violent sport. I mean, your job is to basically crush the other guy. So it gets the bad thing where you think of soccer and you think, I mean, you know, other kids in high school call it field fairies,
right?
Yeah. Because, oh yeah, you play soccer, whatever.
I've never actually ever, I don't want to say right that because I've never heard that ever said actually.
Field Fairy? I'm pretty sure we called you that when we heard you were going to play soccer 1 year.
I was a good soccer player.
I understand that, but you still
were you the kicker 1 year?
I was, but I was a very good soccer player.
All years at Mullings.
Was he a good kicker?
He was a very good
kicker. I was a very good kicker, but I was a really good soccer player.
You should have kept that up, man.
Well, I know I couldn't play. Great job. But anyway.
The only reason why he didn't start, he started kicking sophomore, junior, and senior year. The only reason why he didn't is because he had this kid, Dave DeLine, in front of him, who, by the way, was like one of the great CU kickers of all time. So he was a kicker. I remember catching his kicks.
Yeah.
I think I got a concussion that time. And he was like, hey, can you catch some of these kicks? And it was.
What do you guys feel about? I mean, I know it's in a lot of other sports, but we are such a football centric country. So let's talk about football. What do you guys think about some of the safety rule changes that they've done? For instance, the kickoff rules, you know, things, small things like the onside kick rule where you can't get a running start.
The onside kick should go away based on the rule changes that they did.
Yeah, it's stupid. It's just it dumb. Seems crazy. I mean,
it's a one in a, it's a one in a.
But overall, do you think it's affected the game to how you used to remember it?
From a strategy perspective, the onside kick has changed. I mean, you used to have a fighting chance.
I mean,
you
know, more as a fan,
that's what I'm saying. As a fan, as somebody, you no longer sit there. Well, you still do. You go, okay, well, now we're going to onside kick it, but you know you don't have a shot. Mm-hmm. You know, whereas in the old days, you know, you'd say, we're going to onside kick it, and let's see who we have out versus who they have out. And it was truly a strategy, and it was something that could, you had a chance of converting, but you know, they moved the extra point back. I don't know if that was because of CTE or if that was just because they wanted to make it more difficult.
A lot of the receiver rules,
they moved the kickoff back or forward, so there would be less. Right.
So there'd be more touchbacks.
Yeah, there'd be less.
Do you think that one day there's just not going to be kickoffs? Because I hope not. They say it's still so dangerous.
Well, I hope not. The reason why it's so dangerous, obviously, is you got 11 guys running 100 miles an hour as fast as they can. And you've got 11 guys waiting for them. It, you know, it's like from a movie, you know, or a Viking show or whatever, when they're running to go to war, it is a violent thing. Look, the rules can help, but I mean, like I said before, it's a violent game. And unless you change everything about the game, which you can't, because that's what makes the game so popular, you're never going to make it safe.
The equipment and technology. And the problem is the liability that goes along with the equipment and the technology that they need to put in there. If something doesn't work, then they're held liable. So, Ons, I hope they don't continue to change all the rules. I like football as it is. I've always enjoyed it. The one sport that I've never understood, you never hear about, is hockey.
I read an article, actually. They're just now starting. The NHL is really starting to do more investigative work. But previously, they've been one of the most slow to get on the bandwagon.
I don't think you had to wear a helmet in hockey until like 5 years ago.
You didn't even need a face guard. I mean, it's nuts.
But seriously,
it's
it was crazy. Just like 5 years ago.
And you know, their rules, they don't have to disclose injuries, really. I mean, I remember
lower body injury.
When Forsberg had his spleen removed, they were like, yeah, he has a cold section. Yeah.
And as a guy that worked in NHL locker rooms, there is a mentality and a code, an ethics that these, I mean, I think they're the most hardcore athletes I've ever encountered, because there's a level of toughness in those NHL locker rooms that is pervasive. And I still believe it's a strong stigma, even with the younger players. So the NHL is going to be one of the later leagues to come around. But I think Audie's right. Like, even stuff like cheerleading you hear about, and then you think about it and you're like, oh, yeah, I mean, that actually makes sense. I think the one thing that has to happen with CTE.
Not to Paul. It doesn't make any sense.
You need to watch Bring It On.
Just ask Dominique.
Dude,
let me just tell you, if my kid got a concussion cheerleading, I'd pull my kid aside and go, this ain't for you, dude. I mean, what the hell's the matter?
What if your kid got a concussion playing football? Why is it different?
Because it is, because football is...
A concussion is a concussion.
I mean, there's tricks they have to do in cheerleading, flips and stuff, where you could easily miss flip and hit your head.
Right. And so it's not for him. So in football, it is part of the sport. It's expected that every football player is going to get a concussion at some point in time. It's just the nature of the sport itself.
So that's kind of like what I'm saying. There's a underlying thought within the sport that says it's going to happen. You tough it out. You get back on the field.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. That's the mentality that's wrong, I believe. That's what's causing...
I'm not going to say if it's right or wrong, but I'll go back to the Mahomes incident inside the blue tent. Mahomes was telling those guys inside the blue tent, guys, I'm playing next week. You can go figure this out any way you want to. You can tell them whatever you want to, but I'm playing football next week because that's what I do. And that's not just a football or a hockey. That's an athlete's mentality. That is a warrior's mentality that they are going to say, this is what I'm going to do. Now let's go back to cheerleading.
And by the way,
well, the question is, what point do you stop as like the doctor or the coach that you can't make your own decision?
Right. Where it gets messy, Aj, and they're trying. That's what the blue tent is supposed to do, right? The blue tent is supposed to be a doctor's decision based on what's going on. Now, you're the doctor for the Kansas City, and you're supposed to be an independent doctor. Excuse me. You can't be associated with the team. You work for the NFL. So the doctor sits there and says, Patrick, you're hurt. You can't go back in that game. And I don't know any of this to be true. Yeah. So everything I am saying is just pure.
I know there was times in high school when I was I'm injured, but I'm going out to go play because it's my senior year or whatever.
It's because of my team. I want to go support my team. And, you know, Patrick Mahomes, I'm sure, sat there and said, I'm going to go play. And I'm sure there was someone from the Kansas City Chiefs that said, he's going to go play.
Well, that's a special scenario because the next week was the Super Bowl. And the NFL was also going to make sure that their quarterback was going to play. I mean,
it's no different. I mean, there was another scenario earlier this year with Russell Wilson in a no playoff implication game. If you remember this game, Russell Wilson stood up, literally staggered, and someone had to help him. They took him to the blue tent. They put him in the blue tent, and he was back on the field two series later.
I think that concussion is still affecting him because he says he wants to go play for the Chicago Bears.
Yeah.
So he got to be jacked up. Yeah. I mean,
so I think the NFL is trying to be tough. You know, you could be tough on the Broncos and say you have no quarterbacks this week. You know, but you know, when you're talking about the greatest, some of the best players that you have in the league, I think the NFL, there's still money and power that get in the way of health and safety.
It'll be interesting to see what the coach's perspective is on this because there's nobody.
We are going to be joined by a local coach, Jeremy Bennett, who coaches at Mullen High School here in town, a 5A football program. But Jeremy's been a coach in the state of Colorado for, God, probably 30 years. So he has seen all aspects of CTE and concussions from little league football all the way up to high school football. So without further ado, coach.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, but
Jeremy, first of all, you or your son played at UNC, right? Your son?
Yes.
Yep. He didn't play with Vincent Jackson at all, right?
No, he didn't play with Vincent Jackson, but as you guys know, the fraternity of football players and where your alma mater is, that really hit him hard, and it hit the rest of that community hard for sure.
We were talking a little bit about that incident and kind of what went on with Vincent Jackson and being involved in high school football, how CTE has kind of changed over the years.
Yeah, well, I think first and foremost, you know, we're a little more educated. Well, a lot more educated than what we used to be, right? I had the opportunity to sit on, represent the state of Colorado and the Colorado High School Coaches Association at an NFL symposium on concussions. And I think what we understand more than we ever have is second impact syndrome. And that's really where we start to see the brain and CTE start to form. And that's essentially where your brain's not healed all the way and you go back out and you have a second, you know, blow to the head, and it's what's referred to as second impact. So what you're seeing at our level and, you know, below us and even at the collegiate level is we've changed the way we're practicing. You know, bull in the ring is a thing of the past. Oklahoma drill, we do it, as you know, Leonard, but it's modified. And the way we teach kids to tackle, because ultimately, guys, unfortunately, this thing will be a thing of the past, the sport we love, if we don't try to change and make it a little bit safer. I know people use certain words, and I don't know if I can say this, but I'm going to, you know, the pussification of this sport. But realistically,
I would say that I would say wussification of the sport, Jeremy.
Okay. Well, I've listened to the show, and I think you may have said something different. So, what we need to do is control what we can, and that's practice, right? And so we've really altered the way we do that. And, you know, physiology, everyone's different. You know, Leonard and I had an opportunity to coach for, you know, close to a decade with a two-time collegiate Power Five All-American and a 10-year NFL vet. And he never had a concussion. His makeup was different than other people's, where I'm dealing with a young man right now who plays for us at Mullen High School. He had a pretty severe concussion, and he's just now being cleared. The conversation that I'm going to have with him and his folks is, we may think about hanging this up, because when it takes you that long to recover, that's a telltale sign that his potential of long-term damage in CTE potentially is probably a lot higher than what someone else is going
to
be. So
he's probably susceptible to another one too.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely, Paul. So really it's changing the way we practice. The kids didn't like it at first, but something that we implemented back when I was in Jefferson County at Devlin High School is we wore a guardian cap during practice, and it's just a soft shell that goes over the top of your helmet. And we're really trying to just restrict those helmet to helmet hard blows as much as possible. To eliminate as much as we can.
Jeremy, one of the things that we were talking about a little bit earlier here is when we were growing up and we played, you know, there was times where we would quote unquote get our bell rung, right? And then, you know, that might be in the first half, and by the second half, we were back in the game. And that's kind of what a big change we're seeing in high school sports now, right? Because you can't, once you identify a potential, I mean, you got to take steps at that point in time, and they're not seeing the rest of the game.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's a great point. There is no such thing as getting your bell rung. Head trauma in the actual lobe of your brain rocking in the skull cradle, that's head trauma. And so, you know, when we recognize it now, we pull kids and we talk to them, and, ultimately their safety is our priority. And it's tough sometimes because it may be your best player, but we have have implemented a return to play process as well. Right. So it's just not dad calls and said, he's tough, he's good, put him in next week. Right. So we've got to be symptom free for 72 hours. And then it's a 5-step program to get those kids back. And it starts with 15 minutes of cardio exercise. How do you feel? And this is all done through our trainers. Let me go back. Let me digress a little bit. We can only start the 5-step as soon as their doctor says they're good to start that process. So then, and then it kind of builds to where that 5th day they're back in full contact. Our trainers are in constant communication with them during that process to see how they're feeling. So, you know, those steps have been put into place because second impact syndrome, and we had a young man here at Grandview High School probably close to a decade ago. Those laws are in place now. He unfortunately lost his life in a tragic second impact syndrome. So we've really got to take these steps to protect kids.
Who makes the call to pull a kid out of a high school game?
You know, Paul, it should be anybody that sees it, right? Our trainer's finally going to wave it off, but I've noticed someone different because your mood swings. If you're a grumpy kid and you're always just blah blah blah, and all of a sudden you're happy and giggling and laughing, well, there's trauma there. We've had kids that have happy-go-lucky kids, and they're crying and they're depressed and on the sideline, and that's a telltale sign. Their mood has changed. And I think one of the things that people don't understand, and maybe, some people do, but you don't have to lose consciousness to have a concussion.
Right.
In fact, most people don't. So, we test every year as coaches. Any coach on our staff, whether it be freshman, varsity, they do it at the collegiate level as well. And the NFL's, obviously with what's going on with CTE, is really trying to cover it as well. But, our coaches all take a test to look at the signs. And it doesn't matter if you, you coach the PAT holder. If you see something, you've got to yank that kid. We immediately grab the trainer. He'll put him through some tests. And then I've even made the call when the trainer said, I think he's going to be all right. And I said, nah, we're not tonight. I think we're good.
Jeremy, I remember, and it was Dante senior year, we had a really good team, a very competitive year, it seemed like, that year. And our starting quarterback, a young kid who went and played baseball at the Mines. We were playing Holy Family up north, and Jeremy noticed something weird. And I was calling in the plays and talking to the, I didn't notice, you know, I saw him and was calling him the plays, and Jeremy said, you know, something's not right there. And Jeremy pulled him for the rest of the game. Do you remember that, Jeremy?
I do. Yeah. I do.
And it probably cost us the season, but it might've saved that kid, you know.
Yeah.
We ended up losing that game, very close game. And that probably cost us a playoff shot. Remember that?
Yeah, I do. And then the kid goes on and sets multiple records at School of Mines and RMAC national records for RBIs. And that was, so you guys know, and that was a telltale sign, because this was one of the most respectful kids, very strong in his faith. Yes, sir. No, sir. And I said, hey, man, that guy was wide open in the flats. And I'll never forget this. And he goes, I'll hit him next time, bud. And I went, whoa, wait a minute. That's not how this young man addressed us ever. And so you just have to look for those signs. But yeah, that's, you know, and we've battled it and dealt with it. And we've had parents that, you know, put him back in. And, you know, I know both of you, Paul and Leonard, have sons that played at the high school level and played the game very physically. And you know, I watched Dante play Palisade, where we had to pull him. Now, that was a little different because his eyeball was looking out the ear hole as well. So we had to physically, you know, cut his helmet off his head. But unfortunately, it's part of the game. What can we do as the adults and the people in charge to make it safer? And at the NFL level, what can they do to make it safer? Because, again, my fear is if we don't make changes – and we don't come up with a plan that covers the full spectrum. Because here's the other thing. I love it when an 8-year-old first-time player's mom goes, well, it's just rec football, right? Well, no, ma'am, it's barbaric. And it doesn't matter that it's 8-year-olds, because it's all relative. That 58-pound kid's going to hit that 58-pound kid as hard as he can. And whether that's 58 pounds or 300 pounds, the impact, you know, the possibility of that head trauma, it's always there. So I think it needs to be a full spectrum set by the NFL on how we look at this. Unfortunately, it's really, I think, being bred more at the high school level on how we're going to protect players.
In my past life, Jeremy, I had the opportunity to go to a Roger Goodell forum at the stadium, and there's about 50 people that were in the room at the time, and I was with my old boss at the time, and I said, I'm going to ask him about the NFL's impact on collegiate, high school, and youth football, and what are they doing to help teach and train? And my boss was like, Paul, don't do it. Just don't do it. It's a hot button. It's a hot button. Don't ask. So I asked. And he, Roger Goodell, gave the most vague I guess sugar-coated answer that he possibly could, but I agree with you. I think it's the NFL is the gold standard. So whatever it is that they set as far as protocols and as far as regulation testing, whatever it is, it's all that should just permeate its way all the way down to, you know, Jeremy, as you said, 8-year-old football. And, you know, I never thought about what you just said, but it is relative, you know, and an 8-year-old at 58 pounds versus another 8-year-old at 58 pounds. If they hit really hard, that's two 58 pounders hitting each other really hard, and it can hurt them. Right. So I think the NFL should be the gold standard in all this. And I think that it's still very dysfunctional, but before we run out of time too much, I want to ask one question. And that's equipment. And, you know, I think that over the years, but speaking specifically to high school, right? So if you have new equipment that comes out, the pros get it first, no questions asked, it's always going to be there. A lot of your college programs, they get it first. You know, it's no problem. Logan, at a small D3 school, you know, he has the hit protectors on the helmet, where a coach gets buzzed if a kid's taking too hard of a hit, then the coach actually gets buzzed and can pull Logan over and say, you know, these two indicators just went off in your helmet, which I think is pretty cool. But when you get that down to high school, the problem is
affordability.
Yeah. How much funding does a high school have? How much can they afford to buy new equipment? How much? So, you know, you end up with, you know, some high schools out there that have
six, seven, 8 year old helmets that are still sitting on the shelves. And we all know that technology is done. I mean, that's, you know, you're not giving them any safety. So then you pass it on to the parents and you say, okay, if you want a new helmet, we'll get it painted for you, but you got to go out and buy a new helmet. Well, the best Vices helmet out there cost, I don't know, 800, 900 bucks, you know, and right. people can't afford that. So, you know, how much do you love your kid? You know, I mean, yeah. I don't love him that much. So we'll take that helmet. You know, I mean, it's a brutal decision.
Yeah, no. And you know what? I agree with you, Paul. I take pride in, and I think Leonard will tell you this. We've made our kids' priority, safety a priority over the years. So if we're raising money, we're first of all going to take a look at our helmet. And I do want to say this, Virginia Tech runs all the,
they run all the stuff for NCAA. Yeah.
Yeah. And all the tests. Right. So a top helmet for Virginia Tech is a 5-star rated helmet. And at the old school, we were a little school. We took pride in only having 5-star, and we're getting there at the new school and getting rid of some old stuff. But, you know, ultimately it's really just raising that money. But listen, I think we have to as coaches, and I think you have to do whatever you can to put good helmets and 5-star helmets on every kid. Now, I will say this, you know, a lot of people are like, hey, Vices or Speedflex or this, I got to get the helmet. It's the new, it's the greatest, it's the safest. The safest helmet is the helmet that fits the best.
Right.
Okay. And what I mean by that is, let's take Andre's head for, it's shaped like an egg, right? And so a Vices,
very big
on my good days.
Yeah, it's not going to fit him properly, but a Speedflex, it's shaped a little different, right? So it's really about the fit. That's what she said.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. That's where
happen.
I'm going with
these two. We're talking about football and CTE.
Well, I've got a question for you, Coach.
No, Jeremy, let him finish his thought on the fit, because the fit, I agree with you, Jeremy. Go ahead.
It's really how well that the football helmet fits on your human head. Yeah. And so what we always do, Paul, is we make sure that a rep comes in and fits our kids. Okay? I'm not going to let a parent go out and buy a helmet and spend, like you said, up to $900. If it doesn't fit. So we want the rep to come in and fit. Couple reasons. Number one, obviously we want the kid to be safe. Number two, we want the onus of responsibility and liability on that company. Hey, VT said you're a 5-star rated helmet. You came out and fit my kid, and now they're saying this helmet didn't fit right. Okay, so it's not that we're passing the buck. It's that you're the expert on the helmet, so fit the kid and fit him right.
Jeremy, I just started laughing to myself. How many Saturday mornings did we spend in the back of team sales fitting helmets on kids, trying to get them in and out of there in 15 minutes?
A lot, all the time. Absolutely.
Damn it.
Yep.
Jeremy, so one of the things, that, you know, football gets the bad rap in all of this, right? Because it is, by nature, it's a violent sport. But you know, it's not the only sport, but parents, you know, are holding their kids back from playing little league football and junior high football because of this, but they're okay with putting their kid on a soccer field or putting their kid, you know, in other areas that are dangerous.
Right. Right. And so again, it's understanding, right, what a concussion really is. You know, most concussions come from the rocking and the whiplash effect, right? And then the jaw. That's why we tell every athlete, whether you're playing basketball, wear a really good mouthpiece, because that jaw and that the whiplash effect, that's where most of your head trauma comes from. If you look right now, high school girls soccer is inching its way up towards football. And here's why. The neck muscles of young ladies 14 to 18 years old, it's just, they're not as strong as their male counterparts. So what happens with when they go up and head these balls, or there's collisions where two girls, and I would tell you, if you've never watched a high school girl soccer game, it's very physical and they get after each other. But what you're seeing is that whiplash effect from heading the ball. If you look at the CDE's chart on where concussions are, women's soccer ranks second. And it's inching its way up. So ultimately, we need to really understand, it's not about two guys slamming their heads together like Rams. It's about athletes competing and then either not being strong enough or the whiplash effect. There's really not a lot you can do about it. What soccer has done if you look at the club level from 8 years old up to 12, they're not allowed to head the soccer ball anymore.
Yeah, but that changes the game. That's what makes me mad, is that changes the game.
It does. It does. It does. It does indeed.
We have Adriana here. She says cheerleading is next on the list.
I didn't say next on the list. I said cheerleading has concussions, too.
If a kid gets a cheerleading and concussion, take them off the squad.
Well, Odd, you're absolutely right, because, those stunts and those aerials, when you hit the floor, gravity is a nasty deal. So cheerleading is, gymnastics is way up there, right? So these I'm doing air quotes, you can't see me, these non-contact sports are towards the top of the list. And, you really have to take a look at that. I know we've watched basketball games where you see a kid dive for a ball, his head smacks off her head smacks the wood. And so it's really, as far as athletes go individually, being aware of your body, understanding when to let up and when to not let up. And I think that compromises the integrity of competition, but we really have to start training athletes to use their head and be as smart as possible.
Andre?
I got one question for you, Coach. And once again, thanks for joining us this Sunday on The Legal Dispute with Lenny and Paul. By the way, you know what the most underreported sport for CTE is? I just looked this up thanks to the people on Reddit.
Swimming.
Rodeo, bull riding.
Oh,
I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah,
you're getting flinged around.
Even if you don't fall off the damn
animal,
your head is
flinging back and forth. Yeah,
crazy. It
makes sense. Your face is bouncing off the back of that bull nonstop. So that makes a lot of sense. It's that whiplash effect.
Yeah, and those parents that put their kids in that sheep little riding thing, I think they're being negligent. What do you think about that, Jeremy? What is it?
They're clusters? Future middle linebackers.
It's the 4-H club, and they do mutton busting.
I think it's awesome.
Anyway, Coach, back to the gridiron. For you, my one question is, you've been a coach at the high school level for over a decade. Since CTE has rose in prominence, have you seen a difference in the amount of difficulty you have in recruiting? And how do you adjust your recruiting angle?
No recruiting. Yeah, Mullen doesn't recruit or anything.
Yeah.
Well,
I get what you're saying, right, Andre, because I have to recruit our halls. It doesn't matter what school you're recruiting.
Yeah, what do you say to a kid who comes up and says, I love football, I really want to play, but holy shit, I don't want to end up a vegetable? What do you say to that
kid? I completely understand, but, we coach the game different. I think you should come out and give it a try. If it's a mom thing, we're probably not going to win that argument, right? Mom's going to put her foot down. But, I can also show you statistics, young man, that this thing's starting to go the other way. We are making some headway on the way that, we're kind of lowering the cases. I will tell you this, and I take a lot of pride in this, and I hope this continues forward, but, I would tell you that over the last 4 or 5 years, Lynn, I can't think of a young man in practice that has had a concussion. And I can't say that previous to that, because I think we would end up with 1, 2, possibly 3 a year from practice. So, we talked to him about how safe we're trying to make it. But at the end of the day, Andre, you still have to tell him, look, this is the most brutal, badass, combative sport that you can play. And it's sanctioned to do that, right? This and MMA, and apparently bull riding,
and cheerleading.
They're in cheerleading, and but again, I've watched a couple guys play ping pong that are so competitive that it's just competitors have to be aware, and they have to try to protect themselves as well without pulling off, because when you pull off, that's when you get yourself hurt. So then, I can't make any guarantees. And we also tell parents this, and let me just say this. When moms say, I want to buy my son one of those concussion-proof helmets, the first thing we tell them is that doesn't exist. You can be in the best helmet, but if you're predestined and you're susceptible to that impact and that trauma, it doesn't matter. You could be in bubble wrap, and it's still going to happen. So that's it. Coach the game the way it should be coached. And, sometimes it's a wing and a prayer, Andre. We hope for the best.
Jeremy, thanks for your time today, brother. We really appreciate it. We will be right back with more from The Legal Dispute with Lenny and Paul.